Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this Thanksgiving Eve comes from our Old Testament reading of Deuteronomy. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Thus far the text. The Israelites, they wandered for a lifetime. For 40 years, they'd been traveling this way and that, through a vast land which was not their own. They had never been able to build a house, plant a flag, never been able to say that this place was home. They just wandered, directed by God, sure, but wandered nonetheless. All those who had left Egypt were now gone, departed in the wilderness. Those that were left now had known nothing except wandering, wandering to and fro, wandering and waiting for the Lord. And now the promise is finally before them. Now the culmination of everything that God had in store for them was at their fingertips. God had been true to their word every single step of the way. But that's not to say that it was an easy road. Life never is. It was meant to be, that's for sure, but now, after sin has done its sinful work, life is more of a struggle than it is a walk in the park. But perhaps that's the most comforting part of it all. The Lord never left the Israelites. He was with them always, even through all of their wandering, in a pillar of fire and then of smoke, and seated on the mercy seat in the tabernacle. Later, after our text, the Lord warns the Israelites about the dangers of becoming complacent once they enter into the promised land. They will have everything that their hearts desire. They will throw out the other inhabitants of the land. They will finally be able to build houses that they can call homes. They will become rich and not want for anything. All of these things, a promise from God, and yet a danger comes with them. But this danger is not inherent in any of the temporal first article gifts. They are not evil in and of themselves. But the Lord does know the heart of sinful man. He knows that when we're allowed to become lazy, when every good gift is actually placed before us, when we don't have to worry about tomorrow and what it will bring because of our bank accounts, that they're full and our tables are overflowing, when we've received as a beggar all of these gifts from our Lord, it's our natural inclination, our sinful flesh, to stop looking at God as the giver of every good gift and start looking upon the gifts themselves. And then when we do this, the sinner can't help but put our trust in the things. And more than all of that, the true danger rears its ugly head when we start to believe that it's because of our own righteousness, the works of our own hands, that we have all of these things. Our trust is placed in ourselves, and so we make ourselves our own God. We believe that we've earned it all, been worthy of it all, are better than the next guy because of the things that are lining our pocketbooks. It shouldn't be this way, of course. God never intended it to actually be this way, but it is. Because of our sin, it is. And so before the Lord leads his people into the land that he had promised for them decades before, he calls them to remember the last 40 years. They wandered, and yet they were never lost. They traveled for years upon years, and yet their feet did not swell, and somehow, miraculously, their clothes never wore out. They were sustained and nourished through it all with manna that came down from heaven. And no one knew what this manna was. No one understood how it could sustain them, but it did, every single step of the way. So we come here this evening to celebrate a day of Thanksgiving tomorrow. And it's not what we would call a church holiday. It isn't in the church year, and it isn't prescribed for us by God to set aside and celebrate, but it's very good for us to do this nonetheless. Actually, it should be part of our daily, maybe even hourly life. We should constantly take a moment and give thanks to our God for all of the good and gracious things that He bestows upon us. For we aren't worthy of them. Food and drink and house and home and land and animals and spouse and child, all of these things are good first article gifts given graciously to us by our Heavenly Father. And so gracious is He that He doesn't just supply all of these things to those who believe and trust in Him. He sends rain to fall upon the just and the unjust alike. He gives like a father who loves to give. And it makes no difference whether or not His children are thankful. And yet thankful is what we should be. For if our Lord removed His gracious hand from us for just one instant, we would all be doomed. All that we have would be lost and gone forever. And in that way, our Lord even uses these first article gifts that He gives to us to humble us, to remind us that all good things come from Him. For today we may have much, but tomorrow we may have nothing. But the Lord gives and provides for us daily bread, even when we don't like the taste of it. Even when we're sure that it's gone moldy and rotten. Even when we think that we would rather do without it. Even when we think that we could supply our own daily bread better than Him. But for the Christian, by the urging and the leading of the Holy Spirit, it is through all of this that we can know and see that our Lord supplies us with everything that we need to support this body and life. And more than that, if our Lord cares this deeply for all of our daily physical needs, how much more will He supply everything that we need to support the spiritual one? We wander in this desert wilderness of ours, knowing that we have the eternal promised land waiting for us just beyond the grave. That was actually one of the things that we spoke about in Krista Herring's funeral sermon today. And our Lord is with us every single step of the way. And that's the wonderful joy of it all. To know that not only that our Lord will be with us every single step of the way as He takes us out of this wandering wilderness of ours into the eternal joys of heaven, but that our Lord is with us even right now in this wilderness and throughout all of our wandering. And He even uses this very wilderness. He uses these tangible, normal, mundane things of life. He even uses sin and all of the consequences of sin to lead us and turn us back to Him continually. And He does all of this so that we might know for certain that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For what is daily bread without the bread of life come down from heaven? And what is good clean water without the water that sprung from the rock in the wilderness? And what is a house that we live in and the clothes that we wear without our eternal home in the hereafter with Him and the robe of righteousness that is Christ itself? And that is our very own garment, soaked with the bloody water of baptism. And what is a Thanksgiving Day meal full of turkey and stuffing and maybe too much pie without the first Eucharist, the very first Thanksgiving true meal that's offered right here today for you to eat and drink? That's not to say that the earthly things don't matter. They do. All of them do. The Lord cares for you so much that He wants to give you everything that you need to support this body and life. And yet even these good gifts from God will rust and blow away like chaff. Even these good gifts from God will be rendered by time and forgotten about next year or next month or maybe even tomorrow. But the true and the most important gifts of God, the gifts of life and forgiveness of sins and salvation, the gifts of Jesus Christ Himself and word and water and bread and wine, the eternal ones, they will never come to an end. And so, yes, we wander in this life of wilderness for however long our 40 years is going to be. But we don't wander alone. He is with us, truly, in word and sacrament. And more than that, our Lord gives us each other. And he's given us the church, so that we might wander this life together. And he does this so that we can gather together and receive the good gifts of our Lord, which will sustain us on this journey throughout this fallen life to the next. And he gives us this church in order that we might come together and share in each other's burdens with broad shoulders so that we might help bear all that this fallen life continually places upon us. While at the same time, we're drawn here together as well so that we can share in each other's joys and happiness too, celebrating all of the good times and the bad, knowing that our Lord is using all of them to draw us back to him so that we may rely on him and him alone for all things, temporal and eternal. Tonight, we come together and we thank God for all of the temporal blessings of this life. And may I even be so bold as to say we also thank God for the burdens and the struggles and the trials as well. For he is with us, even in this wilderness, sustaining and uplifting us through the means in which he deems are good, right, and salutary for that time. And he does all of this so that we might be humbled, so that we might know that he gives us all things, and so that we might give thanks in all things and at all times, so that we might know him to be the giver of all good gifts, and that the promised land is ours even right now. And none of this is because of our own righteousness. None of this is because we earned it, but it's all a gift given. And then we come together, giving thanks to the Lord, most importantly, for sending his Son. For it is through him and because of his righteousness that the eternal promised land of heaven awaits with open arms. We give thanks. But we give thanks in the only way that we Christians know how to, by receiving the good and gracious gifts of our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of Jesus.